Hi, I'm John. I'm one of the pastors at Victory, and I'm also the director of our provincial churches. At Victory, we are committed to plant churches all over the Philippines, believing that together we can disciple this nation. Hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
Genesis chapter 6. We're going to read from verses 5 to 8. If you don't have your Bibles, I'm so sorry. It's not going to be projected today. Part of that is to encourage everybody to bring their Bibles and read from their own Bibles. And I'm so glad with technology now, you can download your Bible from your smartphone, even if you don't have the paper book. But if you don't have it, it's okay. You can just listen as I read it. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the word of God for this morning. Lord, I ask you that you would do a mighty and real work in our hearts today. Lord, I ask you that your word will not fall to the ground, that we will not miss it. I even thank you for those who almost did not make it this morning, but by your grace, they are here today because you have an appointment with them and you will speak to them in a mighty way. Lord, may your word have supremacy this morning, and may it have its way in us. Even if, Lord, there will be parts of us who would push back, I pray, Lord, that it will accomplish the purpose for which it will be proclaimed today. This I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pwede na po tayo umupo? Good morning, everyone. I'm excited, though, for my assignment, which is to open our series entitled Faith Like No Other. It really is. We had a great challenge looking for the best title for this, but what we really want to accomplish is to be able to talk to people in the Bible who had crazy faith so that we would be encouraged and inspired by their stories, and hopefully our faith will be encouraged, our faith will grow as well. I remember when I was 6 years old, I was living in Quezon City, and we had to change houses. So when we were transferring our appliances and furniture to this new house, I was the newest kid on the block. And so I couldn't help in carrying our appliances. It was so heavy. And so my mom said, you know, just go to the store and buy some snacks for all your cousins who are really big and who are doing all the heavy lifting. So that's what I did. Pagdating ko po sa tindahan, I saw a group of young people. They look like they're my age, but they're so big. They're like double my size. And it's like there's 6 or 7 of them. And I overhear them saying amongst themselves, let's beat him up. Bugbugin natin tong bagong batang to. And so when I heard it, you know, I had to turn on my survival instinct. So I put on my game face, my fighting face. And I said, pakibilisan niya po yung binibili ko. And so when I got my change, that's when I darted home. So I really ran home as fast as I can. That's my plan all along. And of course, needless to say that they ran after me. And so they were so big, their strides are much bigger. And so they almost caught me, but at the moment, just before they caught me, I was able to slip inside our gate. And there, my cousin, the biggest cousin that I have, Kuya Noel, super big, super strong. He was carrying the refrigerator on one hand and the washing machine on the other hand. I'm sure I remembered it, you know, inaccurately, but it felt like that was it. And so I said, help! Kuya Noel, help me, somebody! These people are trying to beat me up. And then my Kuya Noel dropped everything and went outside the gate and he said, anong problema dito? He was so big and towering. It's like, what's the problem here? And all these boys, they just looked up to him and I saw their faces turn pale in fear. And at that moment, something came over me and I went outside and I said, oo nga, anong problema dito? I felt bigger. And I realized, we are not to underestimate the effect of being in the company of great courage. How much more it is when we are in the company of people of great faith. You know, I have friends. I am so glad that I work in the church because I get to rub elbows with pastors who are of great faith. And how many of you love being with people of great faith? You know, as opposed to being people with such low faith, you know, we can do this. And they would say, ewan ko lang, ha? Parang mahirap. You don't want to be with people like that, right? But it's so inspiring to be with people with great faith. And that's what we're going to do for the next few weeks. We're going to talk about characters in the Bible who had crazy, crazy faith in the Lord. And hopefully that our faith will also be encouraged and our faith will also grow in the same God that they look to, that they have faith in. That we will also have faith like no other. So our first story is we're going to look at Noah. I'm sure everyone is, almost everybody here in the Philippines is familiar with Noah, the Noah's Ark, the story. And we're going to look into that, but most especially and particularly the faith of Noah, because his faith is like no other. So I feel like this sermon will have three parts. The first one is we're going to talk about his situation, which is a situation like no other. And then after that, we're going to talk about the second part, which is his faith, which is like no other. And then lastly, we're going to talk about his God, which is a God who is like no other. Okay, so let's start. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. This is what I read a while ago. And I'd like to tell you about the situation. Situation was, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Can you imagine that? To start a story with that. And that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. When I was reading this for the first time, really? Every intention, as in every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil, not even a little good, but only evil. And the Lord regretted. Everybody say regretted. I don't know about you, but the first time I read this, it disturbed me. How could the Lord regretted that he made man on the earth? You know, because in my experience and in my understanding of who God is, the Lord never regrets his actions because he knows the past, the present, and the future, and he has perfect wisdom and knowledge, and he does not make a mistake, so there is no reason for him to regret anything, right? And so surely, this English translation must have meant something else. And good news, it does. And so it came from the original word naham, which is to sigh. So you can probably imagine what the Lord was feeling, looking at the evil in the world. He was sighing. Have you ever done that? Have you ever looked at your children and what they have done? The evil that they have done in the house. And you just sigh. Okay. So, moving forward, it said, and it grieved him to his heart. So, there's this another word that kind of disturbed me. And so, I had to look at what it really means in the original writing. And grieve came from asab, which means to be in pain. Now, the picture for this word, grieved, which is to be in pain, is the kind of pain that you feel when you hear about a loved one who just died. There is agony and there is anger. And why? What happened? How could this happen? This was the kind of feeling and emotions that Jacob's sons felt when they heard that their sister Dinah was raped by people from another country. They were grieved and they were vengeful. This was the kind of pain that David felt when he heard that his son Absalom, who was at the time going against him. Have you heard about Absalom, his dear son, handsome son, who went eventually against him, but in a battle against him, against his armies, was killed. And when David heard about it, he was grieved, even though he was against him. After all, he was his son. He was grieved. So looking at these words kind of makes us appreciate the situation, right? Wherein God was grieved that he ever made us because of the evil that he saw his people were doing. Verse 7 says, the Lord said, I will blot out man. So this is what he resolved to do. I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land. Man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, every living thing on land, actually. For the reason is, I am sorry that I have made them. So here's this another word again that intrigued me, that I have to just really just look at it. Ano ba ibig sabihin ito? And to my surprise, it's the same word with regret. The Lord Naham. He sighed. And the picture, as I research more about this word, the picture is like that of a parent. You know, a parent, a couple getting married, deciding to have children, knowing full well that these children, if they would have them, will break their hearts one day. And decided to still have children anyway. Even though they knew there's going to be heartaches. Because we're going to be parents now. And when that day comes, they feel naham, sad. I knew this was coming, but when it came, I didn't know it would hurt so much. So that was what was going on here, kind of, that the Lord was feeling. He knew that when he made man, man will break his heart because he had to give him free will to love him or reject him. But it was worth it. The relationship was worth it. So God made us anyway. And when we decided we would sin against him, this is what happened. This was what happened. Naham. So the Lord sighed. And so that was the situation that we find ourselves in this story. Now, we look at the second part, which is the fate of Noah, which is like no other. This is the good part. Verse 9 of Genesis chapter 6, Bible said Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. So he was the complete opposite. Sobrang baliktad na baliktad. And the Bible said Noah walked with God. What an amazing phrase. What does that mean? I don't know. The first time I read it, at least. Wow, he walked with God. Man, I want to walk with God. Wait, what does that even mean? How do you walk with God? So I had to look at the other English translations. By the way, that's the hack. If you read the Bible and you are dumbfounded with what you read and you don't know how to look for it in the original word in the Greek or in Hebrew, but what you can do, what else can you do? What you can do is you look for other English translations. Go get 6. Okay? So I usually read 2, that is a word-for-word translation. So I read ESV and NASB, New American Standard Version, no, Bible. And then I read 2 more, the which is a phrase-by-phrase or a dynamic equivalent, which is NIV, New International Version, and an NET, New English Translation. And then I read 2 more, which is more loose, like a paraphrase, the NLT, New Living Translation, and the Message Bible by Eugene Peterson. And so when I look at the phrase, how they rendered Noah walked with God in all of these versions. And the NIV and NLT really stood up. It says, what does walk with God mean? It says, Noah walked faithfully with God. That helped. And in the NLT, it says, he walked in close fellowship with God. That nailed it. I understood finally. He walked in close fellowship with God. What an amazing relationship he had with God. And God even acknowledged it. And God said in chapter 7, he said, you alone, I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. What an amazing thing to hear God tell us, or God tell him at least. You alone. Really? Alone? You alone? No one else? I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. In the NET, it says, for I consider you godly among this generation. In the NLT, it says, I can see that you alone are righteous. It's the Lord himself who said it. And it looks like Noah wasn't just godly. He was the only godly person at that time. And what's more interesting, if you would indulge me, is how it was assessed and who assessed it. It was the Lord himself who assessed in the same assessment that he made against the world in chapter 6 when he said the world is corrupt in God's sight. The earth was corrupt in God's sight. You probably can see the similarity of the process that it took to assess the world and Noah. First of all, it was the same time frame. God said, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight. And then in Genesis 7, Noah is righteous in this time. The same moment, that moment, here's the comparison. And actually, same lens were used. Chapter 6, the world was corrupt in God's sight. In chapter 7, Noah is righteous. And God have seen. He is righteous before him. So according to God's eyes, during that time, really, it's confirmed. Noah was the last. I just can't believe this. Really? It was a time in history happened that there was only one man. Can you believe that? This is really a unique situation. Only one man, the last godly person on earth at the time. So I was reading and I was saying, Noah cannot die. He shouldn't die, or else there will be no one left. And God didn't allow it even. As a result, Genesis 6, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God, and the result of Noah finding favor, God gave him work to do. How many of you want to find favor in the eyes of the Lord? God will give you work to do. You know, I just love thinking about the fact that my calling to do his work is a result of my favor in his eyes. Work is not punishment. And sometimes I have to drag, you know, when you drag yourself to work, what am I doing? It's as if work and purpose of life and mission and God's calling is a nuisance. No, it's God's favor. Noah found favor, and as a result, God gave him work. And his work was, Noah, make yourself an ark. And Noah was like, sure, what is an ark? He doesn't know it yet. There was no concept of that, at least at the time. He said, Noah, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. Cover it with pitch. Amazing word, pitch is, anyway, that's for another preaching. Pitch means to cover. Another word for it, to atone. And so cover it inside out with pitch, and this is how you are to make it. Here's the dimensions. And the engineering side of God came about. The length of the ark would be 300 cubits. Don't worry, I had it converted for you already. That's 450 feet. 1.5 is the multiplier. Its breadth or width will be 50 cubits, which is 75 feet. And then its height is to be 30 cubits, which is 45 feet. Then you are to make a roof for the ark so that there will be like an opening, like a window to look at, so air would come in, and finish it to a cubit above. So that's 1.5 feet above. And then set the door of the ark on its side and make it with lower, second, and third deck. Three-story. Oh, amazing. You know, this is huge. Here's a comparison with the modern-day truck. So big to be created by just one man. You know, you think you're a great civil engineer, a great carpenter, a great contractor. No, no, no. Noah is the guy. Noah is the man. Only it took him so long to finish. But it's okay. He had time. 120 years, in fact. But the question is, why make an ark? I found favor in you. Make an ark. Why? Why make an ark? What does that have to do with the corruption of the world? Well, chapter 6 says, "For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die." Yee, it's so scary. Okay? And Genesis 6, verse 22, after hearing all of those, I'm sure Noah had to take time to take all of it in. But at the end of the day, this is what happened. Verse 22, Noah did everything God commanded him to do. Amazing. Can I just say that right there is a faith like no other. You know why? Because I believe, at least in my opinion, that's hard. That's hard to do. Why was it so hard? Well, I think it must have taken a lot of faith, a faith like no other, to obey something like that. First of all, how did he know for sure that God was talking to him? I mean, that could very well be just, the spaghetti he ate. Empacho lang pala, di ba? Nag-hallucinate. How can he build anything that big? I'm sure he needed help. Did you see the size of that? He needed help, but what would he say to the people who could possibly help him? A flood is coming. Okay? You're weird. Actually, it will rain soon. Okay? What's rain? They don't know what rain is because it hasn't rained yet. It hasn't rained. There's no concept of rain yet during this time. They get their water from, their moisture from the atmosphere, from the humidity. Condensation happens and then there's moisture. And there's a spring. There are springs that come, that bubbles forth from the ground. But there's no rain. Okay, at least up to that point. And then lastly, he would probably say, "You need to help me because you're all going to die." Okay, we're going to die? How about you? No, you only. So help me. Why would we help you? Help me build this ark so mankind can survive after the rest of you are wiped out. Mankind has to survive through me. Why would we help you then? Okay, so that was hard, and it took 120 years of doing that. That was, I don't know about you, but I think that's great faith. It took faith. And not only that he built the ark, you know what? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says that he also tried to preach and warn the people while he was doing it. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. And at the end of the day, at the end of 120 years, at the end of the day, at the end of 120 years of building it, nobody believed him. I'm not sure if the people, his companions, because there were eight of them that got saved. Him, his son, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives, and all of their wives. So eight all in all. I don't know if they got saved because they believed his warnings and his preachings, or maybe because he just required them because their family. He dragged them in. You know, and so sometimes I looked at this verse and I use it to comfort myself, especially when I feel like I preached a bad sermon. And sometimes I'm such a bad preacher, Lord. I feel so bad. And I read about Noah. Noah preached 120 years. No one believed him. I feel better already. Okay. No one believed him, so probably no one helped him. But that's just my guess. And the Bible didn't mention anything anyway. So it happened. He was 600 years old when the flood waters came upon the earth. And it rained 40 days and 40 nights, nonstop. And for 150 days, waters covered the earth. 5 months. And it covered the earth so much, God made sure that everything, every living thing on land that has breath will die. Because how he did it? He made sure that there will be 22.5 feet or 15 cubits watt of water that rose over the highest mountain. Everything died. For 5 months, it's like that. Only 8 survivors. Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and the rest. And because, and I want to emphasize that there were survivors. And because if there were no survivors, we won't even be here. Can you imagine that? There won't be even Victory Makati service. There will only be plants on earth. Because everything that has breath died. But God made sure there were survivors. And I would like to attribute that to the faith of Noah. Because Noah had faith like no other. Hebrews 11 ended up, you know, Hebrews 11 is famous for, you know, among Christians to be the hall of faith. You read Hebrews 11, that's called the hall of faith. And he made it in the hall of faith. Hebrews 11 verse 7 says, by faith Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. He was warned about something he couldn't see and acted on what he was told. The result, his family was saved. His act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil and the unbelieving world and the rightness of the believing world. As a result, Noah became intimate with God. What an amazing faith. But the thing about that is, when I hear the story of Noah and how amazing his faith is, instead of being inspired, there's a feeling in me that feels down because I feel like I can never be like that. And so imagine if we ended the sermon at this point. And I would say, so the lesson would be, go be like Noah in the name of Jesus or else. So that wouldn't be an encouraging sermon. That wouldn't put courage to us. But I thank God because the story had a hero, and the hero is not Noah. Noah would not have any faith, actually, that is like no other, if not for his God, who is like no other. By definition, faith, however strong or weak it is, must have an object. And so there is no such thing as faith only. But a faith that exists is anchored on something or on someone. So that is why when somebody says, I have faith, the question is faith in what or faith in who? And when somebody says, I trust, the question would be, trust what? Trust who? Because there's no such thing as only trust or only faith. It must have an object. And the object of Noah's faith that is like no other is the God that is like no other. And here it gets encouraging. You know why? Because God, Noah's God is also our God. Noah's God, who is like no other back in the day when he was 600 years old when the flood came, is also our God today. He is our God who is like no other. And by association with this God, it is also possible to have a faith like no other. Noah's extraordinary faith is evidenced by an extraordinary God. You know I tried to Google the concept of invisible things that you can only observe, you can't observe it actually, you can only study by its effects. For example, gravity. We have never seen gravity, but we can observe it by its effect. When we jump, we fall down. we are never the same because of gravity. Imagine if gravity was taken away. We jump and we never go back down. The wind, you don't see it, but you perceive its effect. The same thing with God. On a daily basis, we don't see God. He is not physical. He is spirit. But his effect on us and the people around us, especially when you meet someone who has great faith in God, it affects you as well. Noah's faith was affected by a God that is like no other. And by implication, we also can have a faith in that God who is like no other. As great as the faith of Noah was, we cannot help but see that it is just but a reflection of how great the grace of God was in Noah's life. Why do I say it's just the grace of God in Noah's life? Kasi, totoo lang, God could have allowed Noah to just die. I didn't say it right. God could have just allowed Noah to be like his great-grandfather. Did you know his great-grandfather is Enoch? And see, Noah was righteous even at age 550 years old. But the truth is, Noah has outlived already the age of his great-grandfather. See, Noah, his dad was Lamech, and Lamech's dad was Methuselah, which aged up to 960 plus. But his great-grandfather was Enoch. And the reason why I keep on mentioning Enoch is, when I read a while ago that the Bible said that Noah walked with God, he is not the original guy who walked with God. The first guy who was described to have the privilege of walking with God was Enoch, his great-grandfather. And Enoch was walking so closely with the Lord that the Lord enjoyed so much his fellowship with Enoch. You know what happened to Enoch? He took him alive. He never died. That's how much God, liked him. Enoch walked with God and he was not. That's what it means. He was not. He was no longer there. God took him. He never experienced death. How many of you want to have that experience with God? God loves you so much, then you are no longer. What happened to you? God took you. And so, that's Enoch. He's the original. He's the OG best friend of God. But the thing about Enoch was, when God took him, he was only 365 years old. God could have done the same thing with Noah. Only if he did the same thing with Noah, take him, and then after a few hundred more years, destroy the earth, then there won't be any more chance for mankind to survive. Because their only chance, Noah, was already taken. But for some reason, at 365, Noah's 365th birthday, and maybe he was saying, maybe this would be the year that what happened to great-grandfather would also happen to me. That's my goal. That's my wish. Lord, will you take me also? And for some reason, God said, no, I'm not going to take you because I have compassion for the world. You have a purpose. I'm going to protect you so that you'd be righteous. I'm going to protect your decisions until 550 years old. You're going to have a mission. We're going to save the world. I'm going to do it through one man. And that one man is you. You see, the greatness is not really in the faith of Noah. The greatness is really in the goodness of this God who is like Noah. I mean, if you're glad that God did not take Noah earlier. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God said, I have plans for you. And I will establish my covenant with you. Not only that, I'm going to save your sons. I'm going to save their wives. The Bible didn't say if their wives were righteous. The Bible didn't save Ham, Shem, and Japheth were righteous. But the Bible did say Noah was righteous. And God looked to Noah's righteousness to save them. It's just that God, at that time, was only able to save 8 of them. It was enough, though, to give us another chance. That's the God, the powerful God, the God who saves, that no one looked at, a God like no other. And here's one more thing. I just cannot let this go. Verse 24 of chapter 7, when the floodwaters covered the earth for 150 days, 3-5 months, they were just floating. And then, chapter 8, verse 1 says, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and livestock with him in the boat. So he sent a wind to blow across the earth, and as a result, the floodwaters began to recede. I was wondering what would have happened if God forgot Noah. It's been 300 years. Something's amiss. Oh, I forgot Noah. And then he opened the door and all the skeletons were there. It was a fail. But no. God doesn't forget. How many of you are glad that God does not forget? God remembers his promise. God is faithful to his promise. The Bible says, even when we're faithless, God remains faithful. When God says so, it is settled. You can believe it because he is God. He may not operate in our time and in the manner that we want him to operate, but he will do it. The Bible says, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And maybe when we're asking him something, we want it done in a particular time or in a particular way. But no, God's ways are higher than that. So sometimes we feel like we're waiting for 120 years already. But it's really not. And sometimes we want it done this way or that way. But God won't do it. But it's okay, amen? Because we can trust this God. This is the God that saved the earth through Noah. This is the God who is like no other, and he's the same God that we worship today. The same God we can trust today. Noah, for some reason, was able to trust for 120 years. And I wouldn't credit it to Noah. I will credit it to the good God, to the faithful God, to the powerful God that he serves, to the God that is like no other.
Thank you for joining us. You can visit victory.org.ph to find a church, join the Victory Group, and give online. Thank you for partnering with us in discipling the city, the nation, and the world through your generosity. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.